recording purposes, this will be the GNSO wrap-up session, scheduled from 10:30 to 12:30 local time.
All right, everyone, let's kick off the meeting then. Everyone, we've got, this is the, are we ready to start the recording? Yeah, great. So this is the GNSO wrap-up session of our meeting here in Durban. It's an opportunity to try and synthesize topics that have come out through the weekend sessions and in yesterday's meeting. So welcome, councillors. Welcome to those of you in the room. Let's get straight on with it. I have sent around an agenda, yeah. Okay, so before we kick off, it would be useful if we could just do a quick roll call. Glenn, should we do that? Can we do a round table quickly? Yeah, if councillors around the table could just simply announce your name and affiliation, and so we'll kick off with that. So we will start with you, Wolfgang, please.
My name is Wolfgang Kleinwächter. I'm a councillor from the non-commercial stakeholder group.
I'm Magali Pazello, ANCUC in GNSO Council. NCS. I'm a member of the non-commercial stakeholder group.
Good morning. My name is Marie-Laure Lemineur. I'm temporary alternate for Wendy Seltzer, who is councillor for NCUC and non-commercial stakeholder group. Thank you.
David Cake, NCSG councillor.
John Berard from the business constituency.
Good morning. Nuno Garcia, temporary alternate for Maria Farrell from NSC, from non-commercial stakeholder group.
Glenn de Saint-Géry, GNSI Secretariat.
Philip Shepherd, observer from the BRG.
Wolfgang Knoben from the ISPTP. Thank you.
Jonathan Robinson, councillor from the Registries Stakeholder Group.
Mason Cole, councillor for the Registrar Stakeholder Group and vice chair of the council.
Osvaldo Novoa, councillor for the ISPTP.
Marika Konings, ICANN staff.
Mary Wong, ICANN staff.
Brian Winterfeld, councillor for the Intellectual Property Constituency.
Heather Rainford, councillor for the Intellectual Property Constituency.
Volker Clement, councillor for the Registrar Stakeholder Group.
Jeff Newman, councillor for the Registry Stakeholder Group.
Brian Peck, ICANN staff.
Lars Hoffman, ICANN staff.
Great. Thanks, everyone. Let's kick off then. Lars, if we could move on to the first slide, which has the agenda items on it. So let's eat. They're just in a sequence of individual items. Yeah. So I've sent round to all of you a list. It was relatively short notice. You've only had it for half hour or so on the council mailing list, but that list is now represented up in bullet format on the slides in front of you. So I suggest we just talk through these. We'll go through them. Some of them are relatively minor points. We should be able to nail them pretty quickly. Some perhaps require more discussion. We will just see what we can manage to achieve. Just a time check. I think we've got 2 hours till 12:30. So I'm reasonably optimistic we should be able to work through these topics. So the first point is on the weekend sessions. We had a new sort of style or format. For the record, we've just been joined by Yoav. Yoav, if you could just announce yourself for the record and for the roll call.
Hi, Yoav Karen, Registrars.
Thanks, Yoav, and good morning. So we had, in a sense, a new style of presentations. We asked for anyone presenting to the council over the weekend to have a reduced primary content and enhanced secondary content, if you like. So first of all, in terms of those presentations that were meant to inform the council and those that attended the GNSO working sessions over the weekend, feedback, good, bad, indifferent? Satisfactory, positive change? David?
I had a whinge at the time about the data and the digital engagement session, which wasn't really in that format. But other than that, I thought it went pretty well.
So to respond to that, David, to challenge that, I mean, we hadn't heard about the digital engagement before, so arguably that was correct that it was like that?
I gathered that it was a sort of a last-minute inclusion, and I think demonstrated pretty well that we seem to be on the right track, and we'll just need to showed that we're on the right track, basically.
Any other connected comments or input, Marika, and then Wolf.
Yeah, this is Marika. Maybe just a question. We received many positive comments about the background briefing that we provided beforehand. Just maybe to ask, does it provide enough detail? Still too much, too little? Just to get a sense of that. If we should continue doing that, and again, really trying to get it out. I think we tried to get it out almost a week before the meeting started, so with the idea that people could put it on their laptops or print it out and while they were flying here, actually prepare and need the background so we could really focus on the substance of the issues.
So I've got Wolf Ulrich, Mason, and John, and no flattering comments for Marika, please.
Yes, thank you. Just in particular, this background briefing from which comes from staff, so it's very, very helpful, I have to say. So to give an overview, and then you have to, you can decide by yourself where to go more into the details or not. It's very helpful. Another comment is, are you going to talk about the beginning of the weekend session, the strategic discussion as well? Because we had this discussion about how to frame that in future, whether this is the right start to start with, the right point to start with or not. But it took us a little bit right, to get it moved, yeah, to get it running. Yeah. So I just wonder whether there are comments about that.
Two quick comments. I mean, the style of these bullets is, you know, the overall is form and content. I think we should cover those items. These are just two suggested sub-bullets areas, so happy to cover those. And, you know, just to endorse that, I was personally very happy with the background briefing. I think they had value beyond just the council and the GNSO. So I think I'd Mason and then John, and then by all means come back to some of those points you made, Wolfuri.
Actually, I just wanted to echo two things that Wolf just said. First, yes, Marika, the background briefing, it was extremely helpful. Speaking for myself, I thought the information was just exactly concise enough and complete enough to prepare for the council meeting. So if staff is willing to continue that, it's very, very helpful. And I agree with Jonathan that it's even valuable beyond the GNSO. When it comes to the strategic session over the weekend, I would personally favor moving that to maybe toward the end of the day agenda after we've all had a chance to sort of warm up on some of the other issues, because it felt like we sort of came into the meeting cold and not ready, and it was it would be helpful if we had an opportunity to talk about some things that the council was doing and then have ourselves prepared for strategic discussion toward the end of the day.
Yeah, so I'd like, if anyone could pick up on that, I'm hearing that, you know, that suggestion that we clearly weren't in quite in the right shape to deal with that first thing in the morning on Saturday. So, but nevertheless, it's a valuable discussion. So, John, you're next in the queue, but if others, either John or others, could pick up on that particular aspect as well.
Sure. This is John Berard. Regarding the strategic discussion, rather than move it to the end of the first day, I would move it to the Sunday morning. Because so many of the ends of our meetings are cauterized in ways that wouldn't allow for the thoughtful discussion that the strategic session seeks to engender. So I would be in favor of moving it not to the end of Saturday, but the beginning of Sunday.
So in terms of the sequencing, that may be attractive. I'm slightly worried about, you know, I know not all of us are or are not have favorable things at the beginning or end of the day. How do you feel we're warmed up enough at the beginning of the day to have that kind of conversation?
Well, it would be the beginning of the second day. So, yes, I think we would probably have thought through some of the things that would make that session more useful. My concern at the end of the day is we're generally rushing to get somewhere else. Just witnessed the end of the council meeting yesterday in which, you know, we were 90 minutes into the first bus, having gone to the gala. So, I mean, I'm trying to be practical as well as strategic here with regard to that. The reason that I had wanted to speak was that I found I have long been looking for an alternative to the policy conference call that the staff runs before the meetings, because there's just so much that is not as compelling as the things that I am most interested in. So I found the document that was attributed by staff to be a precise a look at issues of instant concern or urgent concern. And then I also distributed it to the business constituency so that it could help inform our constituency discussions rolling up to the council meeting. So it was very useful. And in ICANN's world, any asynchronous communication that we can use to inform and educate is always welcome.
Yeah, Wolfuri speaking. I have 2 points. One is regarding the warm-up of the meeting at all, the weekend session. I think it doesn't matter whether it's strategic discussion or anything else. You know, at the beginning of that, we have to warm up. So that means, I think, maybe within our round of the council chairs, we have to discuss that, how to manage that, you know, for the next meetings. I do not have a precise suggestion on that. The other thing is, so if we move the strategic discussion to Sunday, we have to look at this, how we can manage this, because we have seen on Sunday we have big blocks. So we have the meeting with the board, we have the meeting with the GAC. Is 90 minutes plus then the strategic discussion plus preparation of that, and we shortened the Sunday by 2 hours in the afternoon. So it's a management point of.
So let me respond to that. My thought is that the feedback's well taken. We know we sort of stumbled a little bit on Saturday morning, although we did warm up into it. Let's just take that feedback and we'll try and manage it into the schedule with that feedback in mind. Marika?
One thing to consider maybe that you actually, before you have that session, maybe either through the email already get some of the topics out, or alternatively, if you decide to move that session to Sunday, that action Saturday morning, you just have 15 minutes to say, you know, what are the topics we want to discuss tomorrow, so people can actually think and hopefully come prepared. And on the background briefing, indeed, that was also intended for the broader community, because as we're more focusing on the substance, the idea would be that those that may be new in the room have a chance to catch up. So we did also distribute it to all the stakeholder groups and constituencies and post it on the agenda, so anyone looking at it had access to that as well. So
what about the moving then on to the impact of the two-hour carve-out? I mean, there are potentially other options for that to take place, perhaps like on the Friday beforehand rather than during the weekend sessions, although we did get a lot of positive feedback from the CSG particularly. Any strong feelings in either direction on that, in quotes, loss of the 2 hours from the weekend session for the council and the GNSO as a whole? Marika?
This is Marika. If I may, I think from a staff perspective, we did get the feeling that things were squeezed. I think we had a lot of valuable discussion that either needs to be cut short because we were running out of time, or items that needed to be removed, where I think from some of the substantive discussion, the weekend session is really that moment where we can have that. And I think there were quite a number of other topics we could have added to the agenda that would have benefited from such a discussion. So I do feel I understand as well that for other groups it's really beneficial to have additional time, but I think looking at the GNSO agenda, it did feel really squeezed, and in certain cases where we really had to rush, well, I think we could have gotten more out of it if we would have had a little bit more time. So indeed, one of the questions you may want to consider, is there a way of, for example, you know, splitting that time that groups have so that you get, for example, a slot Sunday morning breakfast slot, and then at the end of the day an hour, so it's we have more time over the weekend? Or is there a way to do it on the Monday, or indeed, as you said, on the Friday? Or if people feel that indeed they didn't feel that you know, they feel that was enough time for discussion, because maybe I'm it's just a sense I got from my side, so maybe that's not a shared feeling, but I just wanted to share that from a staff perspective at least.
Any other comments or input on that, on the effect or not, impact or not of that session? John.
I cannot overstate the value that we got as a constituency for that time period on Sunday. And I wouldn't want the council to be responsible for adding another day to our trip by suggesting that it be done on Friday. So I would heartily endorse the continuation of this two-hour carve-out, as you describe it.
So it's quite clear that endorsement that you made, John, that was coming. All this is about is scheduling, is the logistics of scheduling. The value is not being questioned in any sense. Just to be clear, Osvaldo.
Yes, I just want to support John's position. I think it's very valuable for. At least the experience we have in our stakeholder group was that it's very important to have a meeting at the beginning of the ICANN meeting, so we can coordinate and have a common position in the lot of themes that are going forward. So I think it's very valuable.
So here's my suggestion. I think it's absolutely loud and clear the value. As I say, that's not being questioned at all. The only issue is one of architecture. When these when is the best time from, you know, when where's a council hat from the council's perspective, when is the best time to, over the weekend, to potentially lose that slot, and is that acceptable or tolerable to the beneficiaries of that slot, if you like? So that, John.
Well, perhaps we could apply a finer screen to the subjects that we actually put on the agenda. I mean, I have not participated in building our weekend agenda, so I have absolutely no idea except a belief that it's very difficult to do. But in fact, if we perhaps should focus only on those things that will be first up for consideration at the council, then maybe second new matters that are being brought to the attention of the GNSO broadly. So, and then to maybe throttle back on those subjects that are going to be covered in separate sessions during the course of the week. I was struck by the fact that that the week was very busy, but this morning until now, there really hasn't been a whole lot going on. So, I mean, in terms of the schedule, maybe we should think more broadly, not just about scheduling within the context of those 2 days, but also if there's something that somebody wants on that schedule but could be put elsewhere in the week, maybe we should look at that. But again, I've not participated in building the weekend agenda, so as is often the case, may not know what the heck I'm talking about.
John, quick clarification point before we go to Volker, and then I think we should touch a little bit more on that weekend issue. But just on the scheduling, I think I understood from you guys that, to your point, that there's perhaps a two-hour slot this morning, for example. That is not what the CSG is looking for. So just to be clear on that.
Yes, just to be clear. What I'm looking at, say, for example, you know, did we, in thinking about putting the registrar accreditation agreement session on our weekend schedule, with the amount of attention that that's gotten, with the awareness that we have, perhaps that's something we could have sacrificed so as to make life a little easier for the constituency.
No, I understood that point. Yeah. I'm just saying, from the CSG's point of view, is it critically important that those meetings that you had were held on the weekend rather than, say, for example, this morning?
Yes, it was.
So that's what
it was in advance of activities
exactly.
Rather than
so,
program.
Okay. Right. So this morning slot, whilst it may be relevant for the council, it's not relevant for the purpose of the CSG. That's what I want to be sure of. Volker.
Well, the registrar stakeholder group this time did not make use of this slot, but there have been times when we needed some time in advance of our stakeholder day meetings to get some things discussed. So I would support having a certain time allotted for stakeholder groups discussions prior to the council meetings. However, I think as a council we should be careful not to operate against a hard stop on our weekend sessions, so it might be beneficial to schedule the stakeholder carve-out at the beginning of the session, i.e. in the morning, and have the evening, have the time in the afternoon to the GNSO, so we would be able to extend if we had to by an hour or a half an hour.
Thanks, Volker. I think I've got Wolf Ulrich. Are you, Wolf, were you in the queue? Okay. So just a brief response, John, to one point you made on the scheduling, and I don't know if I've got anyone else waiting to talk, but one point there, you talked about recognizing what might be on the council's agenda in order to help formulate the weekend sessions. There is a logistical challenge there in that the weekend sessions tend to be planned out in advance because of the scheduling and requirements of those, slightly less so on the Saturday, but certainly on the Sunday. And so, whereas the agenda tends to come together at a much more later point, depending on what has then is relevant and current. So there's a slight practical issue with that, but I take your point, just letting you know that's the one issue.
I'm not suggesting that there is a specific plan, but merely a hierarchy in which we approach things, with the goal being to get our work done, but also provide for time for the strategic discussion that we want to have, and also providing time for the constituencies to meet in advance of the week so that they can be smarter and better prepared.
Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I actually really like Volker's suggestion. I think there may be a compromise between the two positions of saying, are we squeezed or not? Because if, for example, you start on the Sunday morning from 8 to 10, and give that slot to the constituencies, you know, it is a bit of an earlier start than the council would otherwise start, but indeed it does allow you then in the afternoon, if you see that there are more discussions that are needed, to have more flexibility there. So effectively it would only take up 1 hour from the existing GNSO weekend slot, while at the same time giving stakeholder groups and constituencies that opportunity to meet, and maybe even allow them as well then to go through some of the points that are on the agenda for later in that day, because typically you do meet with the board and with the GACs on the afternoon, so it may even be an effective way of preparing for those discussions, as it allows stakeholder groups and constituencies to prepare their points and bring that back to the council preparation for that.
Okay. Thanks. Petter?
Well, first of all, I would just thank you all around the table for the informal presentations and discussions leading to good decisions. And that also, may I suggest that we have, that we put our a dinner on Sunday instead, because it, I mean, it's good to have the possibility to meet and discuss, and maybe to that way also solve some smaller practical issues. And but that after we have the constituency meetings.
Just to make sure I understand you, I think I understand that one is just simply suggesting that it's on Sunday, but do you think there may be actually, I mean, it, I guess it depends on, in quotes, the purpose of the dinner. To some extent, the purpose has been simply about relationship building, a bit of informal time together. But what I think I'm hearing you say is that there's actually a real value in us getting together to perhaps tease out some of the more challenging points that are that have come up out of the weekend and maybe coming down the tracks for the Wednesday meeting. If so, it may or may not be that the dinner is the right way to do that. For example, we could have some other way of just perhaps engineering that, that those people with any concerns or who need smaller discussion groups get together on the Sunday, which is another variation on the same theme. So any comments, thoughts, or input on that? Right, good. I just, before we close this topic, I've got, I mean, in a more general sense, are there any, does anyone want to throw a grenade into the way we do things? I mean, we're talking about tinkering with things, managing it slightly differently, but in essence, we are running things in the same way, and I just wouldn't mind seeing if there's any radical thoughts with that. I can't see any hands up, so that, okay, so, oh, Jeff, sorry.
Yeah, so I've been listening. I mean, I don't know if it's a grenade, but I just think that there would be the most beneficial session would be after the constituencies actually meet, yet before our GNSO council meeting. I don't know how we do that, but I got to tell you what I thought were sort of agreed to during our weekend sessions. Just sort of went kaplooey after the constituencies. After everyone went into their silos, it just seemed like there was a complete breakdown. And it would have been helpful. I had a discussion, for example, with one constituency maybe 5 minutes before the GNSO council meeting. And what actually came out of that was sort of a, oh, I didn't know that that was what you meant. And you know, maybe if we had more time and could have had more constructive dialogue on this, maybe things may have been a little bit different. I just think that something after Constituency Day, and I don't know if we can move Constituency Day earlier. I'm not going to radically suggest you move Constituency Day to the weekend, but possibly Constituency Day to Monday. I don't know how we do it, actually, because then there's problems with the welcome ceremony. But the point is that constructive dialogue after Constituency Day is so much more effective than any of our weekend sessions.
So, Jeff, that's the point, and it's a good point, and I happen to have a lot of sympathy with that point. The question is that in part because we weren't as effective as we could be on our weekend sessions, or do we need... My other second question, I suppose, is would it be beneficial to meet as a whole council in order to do those things? And my thought is that it perhaps wouldn't be, but question, because I'm not sure that those conversations aren't better served by those with... So we maybe can facilitate interaction, but not necessarily get together as a whole council. Your thoughts?
No, I don't... I don't actually think that that would help. I don't think it's a question of making our Saturday and Sunday more beneficial. I think once people get into their silos, there's a whole new dynamic in each of the constituencies and stakeholder groups, things that we as a council when we're getting together may not think of. And so the answer is no. I mean, the people that I heard from after Constituency Day are not the same people sitting at this table or the same people that are out here at all. So I would say no.
So the answer may not be available to us now, but it seems like the question is how to facilitate interaction between the various groups, not necessarily only the councillors, between Constituency Day and the formal council meeting. Is there anything we can do to facilitate or improve or enhance that engagement?
I mean, I'd really like to see somehow trying to get the chairs of each of the constituencies and stakeholder groups to actively participate in weekend sessions. I think that's something that we should have them at the table. You know, I'd like to hear from Christina and Keith and Elisa and McKaylee and others. I mean, just have them actually at the table on the weekend sessions, because they're the ones shaping the discussions on Constituency Day as well.
Good practical suggestion. Can anyone think of any reason why that's problematic? So here's my response. Let me write to them and invite them to those weekend sessions on the basis, on the back of what we've, you know, discussed and recognized. Any support for that as an outcome?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm not sure if it would resolve it. So they were sometimes on the table. And as you know, so I've heard Christina yesterday saying that it's, you know, she can't change this. She, you know, it was decided by all the other members of the IPC. So the discussion was done. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. We should invite them and ask them to be more, but it won't be something that they can probably 100% commit to. So I do think we need to try or on something out of the box. And I totally agree with you. I'm in the same feeling that there are many times where there's internally. So we sit here on the table, and there's some discussion going on here formally in the GNSO, but there's no interaction between the groups. Not enough. Not that there's no, but not enough interaction. So I have an idea. I don't know if it will work. It's just adding, or maybe instead of a GNSO council dinner, have a Tuesday cocktail of the GNSO, and usually in that atmosphere, people can just, you know, talk in a more free way, and not only us, the council, but then you have the chairs and other people that are active in the constituencies coming to that thing. Maybe that will help the discussion go better. I don't know. I'm just throwing out.
Thanks for a suggestion. I think it's very helpful to have that kind of suggestion thrown in. I'm not sure we necessarily need to resolve it now. We can take this into the planning cycle of the next meeting. I've got Alan and then Wolfgang.
Just a small comment as the perhaps unofficial council historian, or at least one of the people with some long history. I've sat in discussions where the pendulum goes back and forth about should the weekends be exclusively council, should they be focused on other people, should we allow other people to talk. It's time for the pendulum to move and try something else if this isn't working.
I'm not sure I understand that, so because I understand the weekend sessions to be GNSO sessions that is really facilitated by the council. It's primarily the council sort of at the table having, but the GNSO is the entire GNSO is welcome to attend, participate, and which is what my reason for the letter is, almost to remind that is the purpose and function. So if I've understood
my only comment is that is today's pendulum. It has varyingly over the years been in different positions, and what I'm hearing is not only is it for council, but we should actively invite some of the people, such as the chairs of the constituencies and such. And you know, I think that's a superb idea. But
great, thank you. That's clear then. Wolfgang and then John.
This is Wolfgang. It's just an idea, you know, how to stimulate, promote, and also provoke more interaction among the constituencies. I think we had a really very excellent preparation for this meeting by the staff, because we had these tables, you know, which outlined the issues and what is the rationale of the issue and, you know, what are the problems. But, you know, this is a very diverse group, and, you know, different constituencies have a different approach to these issues. Probably we could add a column where we just, you know, outline, in advance. The position of the various constituencies to this very specific issue. And you could ask in advance the chairs of the various constituencies just to give one sentence or two sentences. You know, we are in favor of the letter of Article 29 Working Party, or we are against it, or, you know, we are for thick or for thin or whatever, or something like that. So this would, you know, produce a little bit, you know, controversial debate, so because it would then we see where we have differences, and then we can interact and can ask questions why you are in favor of this and why you are against this. So that means just it's an additional instrument, and this would bring also more transparency in the positions of the various constituencies. Thank you.
Thanks, Wolfgang. Another very practical suggestion. I'm keen to start to wrap this. We've got a lot to get through. So if there are other sort of new contributions. Sorry, John, did I forget you?
Yeah. That's fine. But and just quickly, 2 points. The first one is having the heads of the constituencies at our session on the weekends, they would be as constrained perhaps as even a councillor is constrained by not having had the discussion with the full constituency. Looking at the schedule here in Durban, on Tuesday, the last constituency get-together was the board with the non-commercial stakeholder group, which ended at 4:30. I could easily be willing to reconvene the council for 90 minutes for 2 hours at the end of Tuesday, which would give us the organic benefit of having had the conversations within the constituencies and still get us, and still not impose too much on whatever evening schedule one might have.
Setting aside for a moment whether it happens on Tuesday evening or Wednesday morning, I think we the principle is clear. It's post-constituency, pre-council meeting. My question is that... do we create some kind of informal networking-y type structure, or do we seat the council to discuss this? I mean, which is most productive? And my sense is that it's about, as Jeff said, it's going deeper than just the council. It's somehow engaging others. I don't know if you'd like to respond immediately.
I think that it needs to be a working session rather than an informal get-together, and I do think that... it should be the responsibility of the councillors to bring to that meeting the output of the constituencies so that we can have among ourselves a conversation informed by what the constituencies decided.
Jeff.
Yeah, I think kind of tangentially related to that is not that we just have a meeting after constituency day, but people need to have the ability, or councillors need to have the ability to have authority in that meeting, the authority to be flexible. Because as Christina pointed out, rightfully so, at the council meeting when we asked her a question, she said, look, this is what the IPC decided. I can't do anything about that. If the meeting after constituency day turns out to be just everyone stating their position and nobody's got any authority or any flexibility to do anything, it's a waste of time. So I don't know how you work that out within your individual stakeholder groups. I know within the registry stakeholder group, we lay out some guidelines and we ask within certain parameters for the ability to be flexible on certain issues. I don't know if every constituency or stakeholder group has that tool available to them, but I just don't want a meeting for a meeting's sake. It's got to be... like I always say with trying to come to consensus, there's two things that are required. There's a need for incentive to come to consensus of each group that's there, and the authority to have or to be able to make changes or to be flexible on that.
Thanks, Jeff. Wolf-Ulrich.
Thanks. Just a quick answer. Well, we have that in our charter, well, to do so in the IPCS as well, I think so. But... so in this respect, you know, I would say I would really welcome such a kind of intermediate session, council stakeholder groups after the constituency day and before the council day. I think it helps really. It could help really. So also to facilitate the understanding and this one, and that would provide more flexibility then. I'm sure to do so. So because on a shorthand also, you know, people at the table from those constituencies, they could be in a position after the constituency day also to move on with their decisions.
Jeff, you respond, but I would encourage people to also respond a little bit to Jeff's question about whether or not it exists currently or whether you think you can bring that into your groups to have a bit of flexibility as to how you come into those meetings. Jeff?
I mean, that's the note. So let's just play this out, and let's not to put anyone on the spot, but let's assume that there was a motion and... let's just use your constituency because you said there's not flexibility. Let's assume that your constituency voted on constituency day not to support a motion. And let's say we had this exchange where you came to me and said, hey, we can't support this as is. What flexibility is there to change that to such a manner where your constituency may support something? Do you have that flexibility, or is that because I heard your earlier comment saying we have no flexibility in our charter?
No, I would like to express it. In principle, we do not have the flexibility after we decide on. But a decision could be, let me say, thought over until the motion is at the table and is to be discussed. You know what I mean? So that means if there's something in between because with regarding amendments and whatever is going to happen, then it could be done. I'm sure about that. We have a list on our constituency as well about to share views on that, and we have the ability well to get together. So I'm sure that we are flexible in that sense.
So that would just weigh in favor of making it as on Tuesday after constituency day as opposed to Wednesday morning, because you do it Wednesday morning, there's no time to get that kind of buy-in.
Understood, Jeff, but there's there are clearly two forms. You can be instructed and committed to by your group to operate within a range as well. It doesn't necessarily, and so that for me is the subtlety here, because it's all very well that you've taken the instructions of your group, but your group could say you can concede on A, B, and C. It doesn't, or you can move in X, Y, Z axis. It's not that the two are necessarily that one has to come to this proposed Tuesday evening session with a fixed position, because I think, as you rightly pointed out, that potentially reduces the value of that session. So I think what we're really saying is we're encouraging constituencies and groups, if we go down this route, to come to that Tuesday session with a bit of leeway within which they can work to the extent that that's relevant. Am I summing that up accurately? Am I... John?
Don't underestimate Wolf's point that if on Tuesday night there is a conflict between a motion and a constituency's point of view, but in discussion it seems that a solution can be brought to the table, that then gives the business constituency as well as the ISPs the opportunity to socialize that before the board meeting, before the council meeting, and reach a conclusion. I mean, do we have flexibility? I don't really, it would be painful for me to sit in the business constituency meeting and say, I'd like to get permission to move on a range of decisions with regard to a single matter, because it would just be too speculative for me to even ask, and for us to consider, well, how wide is that range? And so I'd much rather have a specific proposal that I could then bring back and say, hey, this doesn't sound so bad to me. I think this solves our problem. What do you say? And I think that's what Wolf is saying as well with the ISPs.
So I've heard you both, and I think I understand it clearly, and I'm not sure they're entirely mutually exclusive, but I understand your point. Okay, let's call it that. I think that's been a very productive session. Christina.
Christina Rosette for the IPC. You know, kind of having the option A, option B is something that we often try to do, and in fact, with regard to one of the motions that was ultimately withdrawn, did have. I guess one thing that I want to suggest that the council think about is that it may be the case that notwithstanding this Tuesday session, that there simply isn't enough time, depending upon the location of the meeting, the number of members present, the, you know, the ability to kind of communicate with the breadth of the constituency between that Tuesday night session and the Wednesday council meeting, that there may in fact be instances in which it's not possible to perhaps get approval for another option in that time, and that the council is then faced with the decision of, do we vote on the motion as it is, knowing that this group or that group is not going to support it, or do you maybe want to think about having kind of a conditional council meeting preset for 2 weeks from the date of the council meeting at the ICANN meeting, so that in the event that you do have a situation where there is a motion that if there are tweaks to it, it could have the entire support of the council, that additional 2 weeks would give you the opportunity not only to consult within the constituencies and the stakeholder groups to have complete sign-off, and it would also account for the 14-day notice that Marika referenced yesterday. And then it would be up to the council to decide, do we want to table this motion for that meeting that's been conditionally called, or do we want to go ahead and vote on it?
Thanks, Christina. And you don't think the existing mechanisms, for example, deferral, cover that adequately?
I mean, I do, but I also think that depending upon the time span between the council meeting at the ICANN meeting and the next scheduled council meeting, that there could be situations in which that time span is too big, and I'm just trying to come up with maybe another path that could get buy-in from all the stakeholder groups, end up with a motion that can be supported by the entire council. I realize that's obviously not always going to be the case, and minimize the delay.
Great, thanks. And I think, in effect, that's what we did yesterday. So, you know, it is available to us, and I'm sure we can. And that kind of willingness to flex within the processes and to modify procedures when and if it's appropriate seems to be the spirit of things. I'm just going to capture very briefly then what we've discussed here. We focused in on the weekend session and best use of that. One of the key themes that I picked up was the opportunity to encourage as full as possible participation, including that of the stakeholder group and constituency chairs, and as many GNSO participants in those weekend sessions as possible. And second, that there is a critical window between when we close our weekend sessions and when we commence our Wednesday council meeting in which we should seek to find ways, and we haven't prescribed yet the exact way, although we've got some pretty clear ideas of how we best use that window of time. So I think that's a very productive discussion and exactly what we would hope to have in this kind of session. So let's pick up on some of the other items as we go through. Just a note, Zahid, not to single you out, but to note for the record that you've joined the meeting so that you are recorded as present from this point. Right, could we flip to the next slide, please, Lars? I guess this tackles a theme that came up yesterday in the public meeting. Now, this is the Wednesday meeting, and really the main point on form or content of that was whether it was continued to be relevant to have the stakeholder group and constituency inputs and the format in which they were produced. And then the other theme that I've picked up on is clearly this one of the fact that it's arguably in a graveyard-type slot at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and in particular also in conflict with other key items, whether that's the gala dinner or the GAC meeting or anything else. So comments, questions, or input on those points, please. And if we could keep it focused, because we've spent a long time with good reason on the first point. Well, maybe it's pretty conclusive what came out yesterday. I mean, my takeaway was we want to meet earlier. We want to do our best to avoid scheduling conflicts. I intend to take that up with staff and senior staff responsible for scheduling and make that point as clearly as possible, and to the extent that it is possible to remove the conflicts and put us in. Does anyone have a strong view of what the most attractive slot for the GNSO to be in from a timing point of view? I mean, we used to be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. In Costa Rica, we got shifted to 3, and we've kind of stuck with that in spite of minor protests. Should we be at 11 o'clock in the morning? I mean, is there a better time? Especially in the context of what we've just talked about, creating a window between the Tuesday stakeholder group and constituency meetings and Wednesday. It sounds to me, I mean, I'll put on the table, that the 2 o'clock meeting is probably good for us. Any thoughts to support or contradict that? Zahid.
I think I echo some others on the council, and I can tell you that having that window is extremely useful when you're negotiating for motions, as we saw for what happened yesterday. So I think, you know, keeping that window of that afternoon in the morning gives people time. I think it's so let's keep it at 2 or 3 or whatever it is, but keep it in the second half of that day.
Fine. I mean, I'm going to advocate for 2. I'll make it clear, unless I hear otherwise. Marika.
Yeah, it is, Marika. One of the things, and I think we'll only see how that works indeed going forward, but if we would have such a Tuesday afternoon session, I'm assuming that some of the substantive discussion around council motions may already take place there. So you may actually have a much more streamlined session on Wednesday afternoon where you can indeed have it between, you know, 2 and 4 and not have to go into, you know, gala buses, time and things like that. But I guess it's something to, you know, experiment with, or that may allow, indeed, if you move through the motions very quickly, actually allow for some more, putting some topics on the agenda that give rise to more community engagement, because I think some people make comments as well. Is there a way to actually, you know, have some topics maybe there that would get the community more involved in discussing? So, and maybe, you know, for next meetings, experimenting with that approach and seeing if you have that Tuesday session, does it mean that you have, you know, less need for longer discussions on some of the items on Wednesday and actually move quicker through those?
Just to respond to that before picking up to Jeff, one way in which we could do that is do that in effect streamlined formal business and open up the open mic with like 3 or 4 public forum type topics that were of particular interest to the GNSO. Jeff.
I don't know if you want to go to other people, because I have another idea on the council.
I'm not seeing any other hands, so fire. Yoav, were you? Sorry.
Yeah, I don't see just about the 2 or 3. I don't see the difference, big difference between 2 or 3. The only thing is, if you start at 2, you usually end at 5, and then you kind of lost an hour. Usually that's an hour you can't really do anything with other people or be in other sessions or meet, or it's like it's the end. So, you know, it's a long session. Better, it will be our last session of the day. So we'll actually lose that 2 to 3 hour. That's my only. I usually do some stuff in those hours. So, yeah.
Jeff, speak now or lose your slot.
One of the things that used to happen more often is that our board reps from the GNSO used to come to those council meetings. I'd like to see that practice reinstated to the extent that that's possible. So to the extent that Bruce and Bill Graham could come to our council meetings, I think it would be highly instructive for them to see how we operate. I don't know if that'll bring more people or not, but certainly board attention. I seem to find the GNSO being marginalized in a lot of ICANN's strategic initiatives in this whole new era of lateral, whatever he calls it. Instead of bottom up, now it's lateral, and that scares me. So to kind of emphasize the point, we should have our board members present or at least invited.
Thanks, Jeff. And in response to that, I'll note that I don't want to do a disservice to any board members, but I certainly know Bertrand on the weekend session. I actively commented to him and thanked him for his attendance and recognized that was something that I saw as positive. I also intend to, and in part have already raised this with the chair of the board. with the chief executive, I will raise this issue and continue to raise and advocate for, you know, recognition and symbolic recognition of the role of the GNSO through those kind of things. But nevertheless, yours is a very practical suggestion of attendance of the GNSO Council board reps at those Wednesday sessions. It's symbolic and potentially practically important.
It's historical. I believe when it was the DNSO, I believe the board members from the DNSO actually sat at the table and sat at the during the council meeting. They were actually sitting at the table.
John.
I don't. There was a fair bit of discussion during the council meeting about the nature of the presentations by stakeholder groups and constituency leaders. I mean, I don't want to lose that. As I recall, Jeff, you talked a little bit about the origin of why we had them in terms of it being more policy-oriented than a recitation of facts.
It was the intent, which I guess never really came to fruition, was that if there were some issues, it was basically the same thing we talked about the first hour, which is to get input from the constituencies and stakeholder groups on the issues that were coming up at that council meeting to see whether there was some flexibility and to see, you know, maybe it would inform our discussions and maybe it would change the way we thought about certain issues that would be solved if we had this other, or not solved, but it would be helped if we had this other session Tuesday evening or early Wednesday morning. But the intent was to put a couple issues out. It wasn't for a, you know, this is what we did, we had this for lunch, and, you know, it was hopefully to, hey, this is an issue that's before you, and our constituency had these great discussions, and what we were worried about was that, you know, for example, I mean, Greg came up afterwards and said, you know, our constituency was worried about that this was really an attempt from the GNSO Council to power grab or whatever it was, or whatever it is. That would be helpful to know during those statements, not, you know, we had a discussion about asking for, I'm not going to put anyone on the spot. Just not a rundown of their agenda.
Jeff, question though for you and the other councillors, isn't that, I mean, from what we've, reflecting on the prior discussion, haven't we kind of dealt with that already? And isn't that, in a sense, too late to hear that, you know, the die is cast by then? And I just think that objective of those sessions is perhaps...
So again, historically, again, this is many years ago, when there was a DNSO, the Domain Name Supporting Organization, the day before the DNSO council meeting, there was a GA, the General Assembly meeting. So it was a day before, and that's when all these issues came to light. That was after Constituency Day. So I believe what it was, and Glenn maybe remembers, but I believe on Tuesday was Constituency Day, Wednesday was this notion of a GA, and Thursday was the council meeting, and in the afternoon was the public forum, and then Friday was a board meeting. I think that's the way we used to do it. The GA, which was a day before the council meeting, gave very good instruction. That was where the constituencies came and presented what their thoughts were, and it was a full day between that and the council meeting. And it was a valuable exchange because anybody could come up to the mic. It was, in essence, it was a GNSO public forum, which was totally different than the ICANN public forum because they were very different agendas. That's the way we did it from like 2000 or 1998 to 2003 before we became a GNSO.
Okay, so that historical perspective is helpful to understand how it was done, but I think we've got the principle, haven't we?
Just to say that's correct, Jeff, yes.
Thanks, Glenn. And I think we've established the principle of some form of desire for effective interaction post-constituency day and pre-council meeting. Can I just ask one more question then, notwithstanding that, so we've established that. So is there a value, and I would play devil's advocate and say it is valuable to have the 2 to 3 minute briefings from the stakeholder groups and constituencies for the benefit of that forum. So question, are we going to take this off the agenda in Argentina or not. Really, that's what we're saying, given everything else we've discussed and where we seem to be heading, which is trying to facilitate effective interaction within the GNSO between Constituency Day and Council meeting. So we're going to do that. That's our objective. I'm not quite sure how we're going to do that. But given that we're going to do that, is there any retained or remaining purpose to those stakeholder group and constituency presentations? Jeff?
Not in its current form. In its current form, it's not proven to be useful, and I'm the one who suggested initially, and I'm going to say it hasn't served its purpose. And if we decide, we could decide to do something different, but in its current form, just the reading of what we did was not too helpful.
All right, so here's what I propose we do. I have already committed to write to the stakeholder group and constituency leadership in order to re-invite, formally invite, and or encourage them to be as active as possible in the weekend sessions. I think I'll probably brief them on our thinking about the window between Constituency Day and our Wednesday meeting. And then third, I will indicate to them that we propose to remove this item off the Wednesday agenda. So if those three could be captured, yeah, I'll come to you, Jeff, now, as sub-actions. And there's a fourth, please, Jeff. Yeah.
Yeah, the fourth would be to take Tony's suggestion, which is perhaps a written, some sort of written summary of what the stakeholder group constituency did that was not necessarily a council item, because I found it helpful from Christina, for example, that she talked about the Sunrise dispute resolution. I found it helpful from David when he talked about the, you know, that they're looking at the issue of the nominating committee and an additional rep. So there were nuggets from each thing that I actually found pretty interesting, but I can read that in a report if it's not too much of a, I don't want to put more work or burden on them.
So in the form of perhaps a bulleted list. So in essence, that's I would say that's part B of the removing of, you know, it's part of the same thing. So Glenn, did you manage to capture those three items? There is a communication going to go from me to the stakeholder group and constituency leadership to encourage and invite and attendance at the weekend sessions, to indicate our thinking that we need to better facilitate interaction between Tuesday evening and Wednesday afternoon, and in a form and format to be finally agreed. And then third, that we will remove off the agenda the reporting function of the stakeholder groups and the constituencies, and we would seek to have that captured in a bullet point digest, which would have been the memo that they would have written to themselves, I suspect, in order to assist their speaking in any event. So hopefully, to your point, Jeff, it's not significantly more work. John?
Can we also add in that we're going to be creating what we are now calling the GNSO Council Public Forum, so that if there were something that they wanted to bring to the body's attention, that there is an opportunity for that?
Yes, there's no reason not to emphasize that, I think. So the question are we decided or undecided yet as to whether we'll put topics into that, or are we just going to leave it free form? That's just a final question on that GNSO Public Forum. Any thoughts on that? Could it potentially have council suggested topics for discussion in there, John?
I think that we probably should. We should hope that it would be community instigated, but be prepared to see the discussion from a perspective of things we see on the horizon. So, if we wanted to stimulate some discussion about questions from the expert working group, for example, might be answered. Perhaps we could have we should think about seeding it, but I think we should hope that it would be community generated.
Got it. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Let's, Lars, please, if we could move on to the next item then. This is the GNSO review. So it's clearly, we've seen the announcement. It's going to be, it's proposed to be delayed. And so the question is, does the council respond to that call for input on the delay? In addition, what is our own work, what does the council do on this, and there's an action item related to this to circulate the links to the prior work, and hopefully that Glenn will be on the... Glenn and Mason? Just Glenn. Sorry, just this circulating the links to the prior work should hopefully be on the action items list. So if councillors could respond to that, the delay, do we respond as a council? I don't think we need to discuss necessarily how we feel, or is this something that the GNSO groups, constituencies should respond to? So that's a specific question that I wouldn't mind some guidance on, so that it doesn't appear unnecessarily on our agenda. And also, I think there's quite a tight deadline for this. It's from memory, this is end of August or something, and so it kind of catches us. So that's a practical point as well. John.
This is rightly the responsibility of the individual constituencies and stakeholder groups.
Support for that position?
Yep, I agree. I don't think there's any value trying to get a council position.
I've got Osvaldo and Marika. So Osvaldo, just for the record, is in support of this being delegated to the extent that that's the council's position to do it, but recognized as the responsibility of the groups and constituencies. Marika.
It is, Marika. It triggers a bit the thought I had yesterday, because I remember as well, we had I don't know if it was on this item or on another item, where someone as well said, well, this is the responsibility of the stakeholder group constituencies. But isn't there any value in coming back to the council and saying, hey, our constituency thinks, you know, it should be delayed. And if everyone else says, we all agree, to then say, hey, why don't we also submit a statement in addition to what individual groups say as a GNSO council? Because at the end of the day, you know, the GNSO council is part of that review as well. I mean, it's just a thought. I mean, it doesn't take away, of course, what positions, and in this case, there may be very different views, so indeed it's not possible to have a common position. But I'm just wondering if there's, you know, any interest in saying, well, a quick check of our group stand, if there is a chance of having a common position that may send a stronger message in addition to the individual contributions.
John, and then Rob Hogarth.
So, Marika, you tweak me when you say what you just said, because I worry that the board in particular, perhaps staff as well, sees the council as somehow a way to put the community into a bit of a funnel to sort of narrow where they have to look and reduce the number of voices that they have to hear. If each of the constituencies and stakeholder groups were in agreement on a particular matter, that would speak far more loudly than the letter that we might then write, because there is consensus among the GNSO. So I think that the recurring requests for input, for letters, for advice from the council is a workaround by those who are asking those questions, workaround the wider set of voices that might be coming from the GNSO specifically. I mean, the council is a creature of the GNSO, you know, not the other way around. We're not, you know, we don't sit on top of it. We are a part of it, and so that would be my bias.
Anyone want to respond specifically to John's point before we go to Rob talking about the review itself? Rob.
Thanks. I do have a response to John's point as well. Recall that the review contemplates not only a review of the community structures, but their councils as well. So it would be valid for you all as a group to have a point about a potential future review and the timing for the council. The second point I wanted to make is simply that the time is not only tight, but very tight, Jonathan. The comment period expires on August 8. So if folks want to have until the 29th, I presume that it would behoove someone to file something before the 8th so that folks can take advantage of the reply time period.
Thanks. Rob. And you rightly remind us of that, of the fact that of the council part in all of that. Jeff.
Yeah, I don't think we need to impose such tight deadlines on ourselves. I would ask Rob to go back and get that comment period moved. There's no reason at all, I think, unless you can tell me otherwise, why it just has to be a 21-day. It seems to me that this is something that should be more flexible. I don't want to pressure every one of us to say, oh, we got to get it in by August 8th, unless there's some deadline that you're going to tell me that's external, other than that was just a good date to set.
Well, Rob, before you respond, I mean, I think there's a related point, and that is this principle of comment periods beginning or ending during the course of an ICANN meeting. So even if the 21 days is strictly adhered to, I think the spirit of that understanding is that technically that 21 days should commence at the closure of the ICANN meeting rather than during the course of the ICANN meeting. So that would be my thought on it.
And to just add, sorry, I do want at some point, maybe not here, maybe a subsequent conversation, but the whole notion of a reply period was never to file initial comments. It was always to reply to an actual comment that was filed. And I think at some point that needs to be addressed by everyone, because it seems like everyone now is just filing initial comments during the reply period.
Thank you. We're not staffing that, but I will certainly pass on your comments to the SIC and the staff that are responsible for that public comment period. Your points are valid. Thanks.
Yeah, I think we should recognize that. Thank you, Rob. You've done a good job of being a kind of a liaison for us, and so we should recognize that. I'm not sure whose hand up. Alan, and then Zahid.
Rob said he'll pass on the comment. It's the practice in the ALAC to formally make a request to extend the comment period. So I think it would be wholly within your prerogative to request a two-week extension or whatever you think is appropriate.
Glenn, can you please add that to the action items? So that's a request to extend the comment period to at minimum 21 days beyond the close of the ICANN meeting.
Again, as I said yesterday, Rob, you know, we don't want to put you in a position where you have to sort of take responsibility for this, and we completely understand. And it sounded like we were shooting the messenger yesterday, so I apologize. I think it's vitally important that we don't constrain ourselves by this deadline. We won't know whether this deadline has been extended at least for another week or so. I mean, I don't know. And to get that message out to constituents, et cetera, will also be take its own sort of momentum. So I would suggest the following. We write a letter or something of the nature to the board, if it's that's where we should send it, saying
Structural
that,
Improvements Committee, I believe.
Oh, SIC, yeah. I apologize. Yeah. SIC. And say that, you know, we're exploring this and we'll probably need more time as a council to come back to you. That will be a placeholder. And then if the time is extended, that's great. If it's not extended, we should then reply whenever we are able to, because the delay is a delay for an unknown period. So I don't think there's something we're trying to sort of try and catch up to. So I think we shouldn't be constrained by that deadline. Thanks.
All right. And then on the other point, I think I've got that all clear. On the other point, which is what work does the council do, I think that this question, in my mind, is best informed by looking back at what was done before as a baseline. So I have committed to circulate. I suspect that I did previously, but I'll certainly stick to the commitment now to circulate references to what was done previously. For the record, I have Jennifer Wolf volunteering to potentially lead or at least participate in a group that picks up what the council should do in respect of its own review work. So we have a volunteer to, as I say, at least participate, if not lead that group. And I'm grateful to Jen in her absence. I should say she sent me a note of apology with good reason for not attending this meeting this morning. So we should record her apology, Glenn, if you haven't already. So that's my suggestion, that I circulate this to you and we pick this up in terms of our own work, because as Rob rightly directs us, a portion of the review work, no matter whether delayed or not, pertains directly to the functions of the council and the work of the council. So that is something we should at least address ourselves to. I think, John, I don't know whether that, just to give you a right of reply on that, you know, point in relation to what you said earlier.
What would we as the council seek to review that would not be the domain of the constituencies and stakeholder groups?
2 points. One, it may be best taken up once we've seen what was done previously, but I don't think there's anything we would seek to review that wouldn't be the domain of the groups and constituencies, but it may be as well as that, and in particular, the specific way in which the council operates and functions may be the most appropriate area. And let me point you in the direction of what was done previously and see where we get to on that, probably. That's most instructive. Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika. A while back we also discussed or suggested maybe it may be worth forming a small committee of people that are really interested in this topic to start actually thinking through and should the council respond, what do the constituencies view, what can we already start doing proactively to start engaging on that in a proactive manner so that indeed we do have a group on standby should there be a need to either liaise with the SIC or prepare a statement. And I think Rob has even done some work on a call for volunteers for that, so I don't know if it's worth starting that now in light of this all taking place.
Two things. Did you miss me saying that Jennifer Wolfe had volunteered for that group and potentially to lead that group a moment ago? So that's where we're at on that. And I know there have been others who've stuck their hat in the ring previously. John?
If there is such a group to be formed, I would like to be considered for it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we're halfway down that track already. It's really a question of the remit, and the foundation for that is knowing how this has been done before. It's not that we should necessarily be constrained by that, but we should at least be knowledgeable about that. So with your permission,
Jonathan,
I will close.
Sorry, this is Glenn. There's already a mailing list up for a group called the GNSO Review Discussion Group Drafting Team. It was started in 2012. So if you like, we can just use that mailing list and clean it up and put the new people on.
That's a good suggestion. That's fine. I think that's practical.
Just a question. Are you going to call for volunteers?
Yeah, I think we would. What I understand Glenn to mean by cleaning up is circulating who's on the list, asking if anyone wants to be withdrawn, and seeking if anyone else would like to join it.
Yes, because some of the councillors that are on the list are no longer on the council.
So let's move on to the next item, please.
But that, Jonathan, sorry. Just because someone is no longer on the council shouldn't bar them from participating in the review of the council.
It's a very good point, and it relates, actually it links to a suggestion you made, which I hope you've got in the back of your mind about the CCNSO. Yeah, so, yes.
Would you like me to tell you who's on the list?
I think we can cover it on email, Glenn.
Okay.
Let's move on. Thanks. Right, so Lars, if we could have the next slide, please. One of the discussions ongoing in terms of one of the themes going on here was not only necessarily the board initiated formal review as required within the bylaws and our response and its own initiative to that, but was the theme of continuous improvement. And in that vein, there is the opportunity to look at, as we did via Marika's well-received presentation, opportunities to improve the PDP process. And I suppose in the so maybe we should stick to that. Let's just have a feedback, if there is any, on how we might take the improvements to the PDP process forward. Any thoughts or comments on that?
Wolfory.
Thanks, Jonathan. Well, not I'm in line with that. What we have discussed with that, I would like to raise this point about the GAC engagement with regard to the PDP. For me, it turned out more or less it is to some extent also a problem of communication between GAC and GNSO about the process and what's going on. And I had also in between talks to some GAC members, and that turned out as well. So I was thinking about that. So my proposal would be just one piece. We have just decided to set up this working group on policy and implementation. which might be also of interest for GAC members, well, to know about what it is. So one piece could be, for example, to send to the GAC officially from the Council the charter, which now has been decided on, so as a first information about that what's going on, and then to leave it up to the GAC members, well, whether to try to get more information, to get closer to that, to that item. That would be one piece, well, to help them to be more in that process of communication.
Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. On that point, the call for volunteers always goes out to all the groups, but I'm guessing you're suggesting that Jonathan formally reaches out to Heather to notify her that possibly of that. We'll be working on the call for volunteers, I think, in the next couple of days, because I think there was the motion did specify that it should go out within 7 days. On a related point on the PDP improvements, there were a couple of concrete suggestions that we included in the slides, and my question is actually is, you know, on some of those things, are you happy for us to maybe start moving forward on those? You know, one of the concrete suggestions was, for example, for PDP working groups that we would start including charters as part of the preliminary issue report that would allow the council, that would allow for public comment on that, and as well allow the council, if it would decide so, to adopt the charter immediately at the time of initiation. That may be a step of streamlining already, and I think there were some other concrete suggestions in there. So one of the questions is, are you happy with us starting to look at those and see how we could implement those or you know, make some further detailed proposals on those? Because I would need to check back as well at the PDP manual to see if that would require any changes or actually were in the boundaries of what is currently in there. So that would be a...
Could we have some responses either to those direct questions stroke suggestions that Marika has made or any other practical suggestions as to how we might demonstrate a willingness or engage in work to improve the throughput of the PDP process? Jeff?
Sorry. Can we defer that discussion? I'm not sure I necessarily want the staff to write the charter. I think we just require some discussion or thinking about that. I note I think there's some good ideas, but I don't want to just yet move forward with that. I think we just need to kind of think about it. One thing, I know we'll get to it, you know, one thing, I know we just had a discussion on deadlines of motions and things, and I don't want to reopen that, but what happened at this meeting, and I know it's a separate subject, I think needs revisiting, because I think one of the things was ways to speed up PDPs, and we were all kind of in line, let's try to speed up PDPs, but then we kind of got halted by this procedural snafu. I'd like to actually look at ways to actually constructively look at ways to speed up the PDP or to make it more timely, because that was one of the suggestions. I don't know if that's a separate group or that's the SCI or what, but what steps could we do to get things moving faster other than having the charter included in a issue report?
Marika, do you want to respond?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to clarify, I wasn't suggesting that staff would draft a charter and that's it. It's really kind of would be included in the preliminary issue report, so there could be community input. It would be submitted together with the motion at the time the council considers initiation, but it's completely up to the council to form to decide to adopt that charter or to decide to form a drafting team to modify that charter. It's a kind of like we provide it as one of the options, and it's completely within the council's remit to completely say, well, you know, we don't think that is the right charter, we need further discussion, let's form a drafting team or start from scratch. It's really as a kind of like, we'll include it as an impossible option, and it's really up to you to see if you want to approach that way. And maybe to add one thing I can do from my side, because of course in the slides it was relatively shorthand, the different options. I'm happy to write out those in a little bit more detail, and as I said, that may prompt some further feedback or additional ideas, and maybe we can then just take it from there and see if there are any of the ideas we should forward.
Look, I think that's very practical. I'm very sympathetic to Jeff's requirement request not to rush into this. We don't have all of our councillors present. But I think there is to demonstrate a willingness to look and proactively look at the PDP. I think
your suggestion, Marika, would be well received. So, Glenn, if we could put that up on the action list. There's an action area which I think will be live for some time. Now it's PDP improvements, and the first action that we can take on that is for Marika to circulate the suggestions in more longhand that came out of that, and we can take this up as an ongoing theme for the next for the forthcoming period. So that seems sensible. In terms of, just to try and pick up on a couple of things, Wolf Ulrich, your point on the GAC, that's also dynamic. So whilst I take your point was a very practical single suggestion, I think the GAC engagement is, the discussion with the GAC is potentially more comprehensive about how, and that, so that's one potential item. So I think that's an item of ongoing discussion, how we might engage the GAC in and throughout the PDP process.
Yes. Thank you. I think, if I recall correctly, in the meeting with the GAC, we did not follow up with the question of reverse liaison or any kind of liaison here between GAC and GNSO. Wasn't that a point that we should think about as well?
Jeff, would you like to come in, or should I respond to Wolf? My understanding is that's, in a sense, agreed in principle. We have some difficulties with the mechanics because of parallel sessions and so on. One related area one key point there, I suppose, is relates to a suggestion that John talked about a CCNSO liaison, or if I remember correctly, but it was, could it be someone who's just stepped off the council could be appointed to that GAC liaison point? Now, that means they're not a councillor, but they're intimately familiar with council business and therefore wouldn't have the potential clashes. If that's one prospective solution, but it's clear it seemed to be quite a high level of support for that. I can't really gauge it, but not necessarily an understanding of how the mechanics of that would work. John, I'm conscious that Jeff did okay.
With regard to the CCNSO, my sidebar with Jonathan yesterday was prompted by the fact that the CCNSO liaison to our council is always in attendance. But because of the conflicting schedule, our liaison to the CCNSO is never in attendance. I participate on the conference calls, but that's pretty much it. I don't have any FaceTime with the crowd except in the hallway. And so I was wondering if we might ask a counselor who may just be rotating off the council to serve in that role. Now, it puts a little pressure, of course, because it has to be somebody who is likely to attend ICANN meetings, because there isn't any specific funding for for that function. But it struck me that it would probably be valuable for us to sort out how to actually have somebody from have our liaison actually be able to attend the meetings.
You just want Stefan back, don't you?
No, I'm trying against hope to make that not happen.
Alan, you have a response to that.
Yeah, just to note that ever since travel funding for council was initiated, there was also always slots for liaisons, which were never used. Because in my case, I'm funded from on the ALAC side. And in fact, at one point, there was a conscious decision of council to not use the liaison slots for funding to council, for liaisons to council. Last time I looked, those liaisons were still listed in the travel summary, even though you weren't using the budget. So there may well be funding available if you push a little bit.
Well, if that's the case, and Glenn, can you, or Marika, can you check into that to confirm? But if that's the case, Jonathan, then I would want to formally suggest that we appoint a liaison in that way, because the best practices that exist in the CC arena are going to increasingly become important in the G space.
All right, let's for the moment just put an action item, Glenn, that's CCNSO liaison, and then the question, the active question is funding available? And then we can pick this up at a future meeting. Zahid?
We talked about this over the weekend, and we talked about this in front of, I think, we implied this in front of the GAC, and we've discussed this on previous occasions, but we haven't actually closed the loop on the reverse, or maybe not so reverse, liaison with the GAC.
Zahid, I think we covered that a moment ago.
No problem.
I think we have an agreement in principle, but we have an active discussion about the mechanics. So that's the issue. If no one contradicts me, I'm going to run with that agreement in principle, and in discussions with the GAC and all the board governance working group, board governor, what's the board? Board GAC recommendations implementation working group. I always struggle with that, the BGRI working group, to pursue that. We can pick that up. I think we probably, in the interest of keeping things ticking over, let's move on to the next item then, which is the SCI. And as you know, we had a presentation from Ron Andruff, chair of the SCI, and then there is some discussion about what the ongoing and future role of the SCI might be. Has it completed its purpose? And in any event, should it continue to function and exist? Does it perform a useful role notwithstanding that? And if so, what is its charter? So, again, that may not be something we can answer in full now, but I think the SCI is looking for some guidance from the Council on this. Any thoughts or comments for those of you who are familiar with the genesis of the SCI? I must say I'm not fully clear of the scope of the question because I don't know what was envisaged in terms of the ultimate demise of the SCI. Frankly, a committee that is external to the Council, to which we can pass over issues of prospective procedure or process improvement seems attractive as a functioning body, but that's just my two cents worth. I don't know what was envisaged about whether this would run in perpetuity, and indeed, if it does so, then to what extent does the charter need tweaking? Mary.
There are others around this table who were present at the inception, as well as others who participated in the PPSC and other groups. If you look at the name Standing Committee, it was Standing Committee for GNSO Improvements. So I believe while the question wasn't specifically discussed as to whether this committee would have a 3 or 5 year remit, the understanding was that it would be there to look at GNSO improvements. And I suppose what seems to have happened, and I'm looking to Wolf Ulrich, is that as the GNSO improvements process has gone from initial implementation to where we are now, there have been some additional issues that may be related to the improvements but are not specifically recommended that have been raised, which doesn't answer your question, but it may be something for the Council to consider.
Thanks, Mary. It does frame it well, though, because it's a question is the remit dealing with those improvements that were envisaged by those that worked on improvements, or is it an ongoing focus on improvements? Jeff.
So as the chair of the PPSC, I couldn't remember the name there. My recollection was that this was a standing committee not only looking at those particular improvements, but it was supposed to be, as questions came up, at least from the PPSC standpoint, that because we knew we weren't going to get it right the first time and we knew improvements would always be needed, that it was supposed to be a standing committee. It was never thought of as a 3 to 5 year term or anything like that. So if we need to do work on the charter, let's do work on the charter to make that more clear. And from my perspective, I've heard the debate on how the steering committee should act. I think requiring full consensus of that group, I think, is something that from my personal view needs to be abandoned. I think that group should operate in the same way we have working groups operate now, where, in essence, because they're not making any decisions, they're just making recommendations, and the Council should have enough information to know and trust the chair of the SCI to make a determination as to what to do with that recommendation. So my recommendation is to look at the charters to make sure it's a stand, it sure is a standing committee, make any improvements that they think are necessary, and keep it ongoing.
Jeff, thanks for that recommendation. I think there's one other point you could add before we go to Wolf Ulrich, and that's if you are aware of why the committee previously required full consensus, if you are recommending that it no longer needs it.
Initially, and Marika can correct, I think it was that we didn't want continually changing requirements, that we were afraid that, look, this is the process. We don't want continual questions of changing that over and over again. And so, I remember the person who suggested that full consensus, and it happened to be the same person that is still arguing for full consensus. And I know that the original committee that was set before it was a full consensus, and so Marika can offer more.
Marika, and then Wolf.
Yeah, this is Marika, because we actually dug back into the discussion of the charter, and I actually was the person that I think was involved together with Wolf Ulrich in developing the charters, the drafting team that was working on that. And actually, I think what we did, we just copied and pasted what it was in the OSC and PPSC charters, which indeed operated on a full consensus, and partly as well because we didn't at that time yet have the standard methodology for making decisions, which is currently enshrined in the working group guidelines, which were developed by the working group work team and then adopted by the PPSC. And I think the reason behind that was indeed at that time as there was a major overhaul and we didn't have any kind of other process yet for, you know, determining what is consensus or how should it work. I think they operated as full consensus, and I think it was just an artifact that was basically then transferred to the SCI at this stage. And I look back in the transcripts and, you know, maybe I missed something, but at least the session where we spoke about it, there was really no discussion. So at least from the transcripts I reviewed, I don't think there was a really conscious decision, at least from the SCI, of really needing full consensus, but more was, well, we use it for the OSC and PPSC, let's, you know, copy and paste, and it seems to make sense.
Right, and we used it because the working group guidelines hadn't been developed, right? So that's I know that's what you said, but the working group guidelines flushed it out. Anyway, it's my view that we should work on that charter of the SCI and change that requirement as well. And I know there's some that disagree. So,
okay, in effect, that's a concrete proposal from you, Jeff. Wolf Ulrich.
Definitely we will take that to the SCI to work on that. Another point as well, Mary gave us just a short overview of the past, and that's correct. You know, the SCI had to cover all what came from the improvements process, all these pieces, including the rules of council, the rules of operation, including working group guidelines, including even what came out from the PPSC, and that is more or less the PDP. So now, let me say the following. From the council's point of view, I think it would be good to have a committee or a group dealing with something which the council thinks there is something wrong with rules or with some procedures. So from the procedural point of view. So there must be something. So, but however, I personally would say, so with regards to the PDP, which is a very special thing, and it took very much expertise from our groups here, the SCI might not be the body who could deal with that in all these details. So if it comes up that, for example, PDP must be reviewed to some extent, be reviewed, that it could not be done by the SCI.
Okay, Wolf Ulrich, just lest this be the basis for that impression, the fact that the bullet point on PDP improvements and SCI come under on the same slide, it does not connect them in any way. I mean, we have an overarching one item for us to look at is how we might improve, develop, and streamline the PDP process. This slide should in no way suggest that work is the remit of the SCI. However people might feel about whether that's appropriate or not, that is not the intention of this slide.
Yeah, but that was an ongoing discussion in the SCI as well.
Okay. Secondly, I think we have, David, I'll come to you in a moment, and I think we've got a pretty concrete proposal here. Let me just see if David, if you have anything to add to that before I try and sum up what I think we should do.
No, I just wanted to comment that I do think that there's some value in an ongoing SCI is an ongoing institution. It's useful to have a way to talk about particularly procedural changes and things to council in a way that is both at a remove from the issue of the moment and thus unlikely to sort of be too influenced by particular recent decisions, and also takes what can sometimes be quite, you know, detailed discussion out of council time. I have certainly had that position put to me that the unanimous advice is an important part of that because it ensures that it's relatively, you know, impartial and unlikely to be used to influence council to the benefit of any particular group or so on. Understanding though that unanimous advice can take a long time, so it may just mean that we have to wait a bit longer for some things than we might otherwise. But this SCI shouldn't be motivated by urgency generally anyway. So,
Marika?
Yeah, doesn't make it, just to make a little time check, because we actually have another group coming in here at 12:30.
Okay, so this item, this item, I think we can bring to a close. What I was going to ask Jeff to do was really summarize that point with a little mini bit of history to the list. Prior to David's point, I was starting to hear that there was a pretty clear view. Well, I certainly hear there's a pretty clear view that the SCI should remain, and I think rationalizing that briefly to the list, mindful of the fact that not everyone is here, would be very helpful if you wouldn't mind, Jeff, essentially writing up the point you made. Second, if you have a view, which you do have, is to frame why unanimity or full consensus is not required, that would be helpful, but I acknowledge David's representation that that's not the view of everyone around the table. But yeah,
it's not unanimous.
I'm sorry, it's full consensus.
Sorry, full consensus. I apologize for that.
Yes, thanks.
Thanks. So, Glenn, you've got that. Yeah, thank you. So, everyone, time check. It's 12:15. We've got to be out of here at 12:30. I've intentionally allowed us to, rather than be absolutely time-focused on getting through these items, I think it's been very productive to let the conversation flow a little bit. So to the extent that we haven't covered everything, that will be as it is, and we'll pick it up elsewhere. There is a live doodle poll for that meeting, that next council meeting. If you haven't responded to it, please respond to it now or as soon as possible so we know whether you can make that or not. Yes, Jeff.
So I wanted an issue I wanted us to consider maybe giving to the SCI, I know it's a group, or to a committee to look at, is I'd like to rethink about whether potentially voting by email or something like that is a possibility. I know we've looked on and on and off over the years, but I just think that for an issue like the UDRP lock, you know, getting everyone together may be impossible for August because of vacation schedules, and if that would help speed things along, it would be great to just look at that issue and just maybe we can't do it for this time around, obviously, but for future.
I'm receptive to that. Zahid, sorry.
In favor of that.
Right. So that's that. I'm certainly could buy that. There's a related point, Jeff, and that relates to that discussion yesterday. And essentially, I wasn't empowered as chair by our rule book to allow that motion to be put on the table, even if technically, although we have done it by precedent and prior practice, even if no one objected from the council, there isn't really a device in the rule book to allow that to take place. So I personally think that's an area we should look at, is the when and under what circumstances formal council procedure can be bypassed in the event that there is no objection from the council. Or I'm not sure I'm framing that perfectly, but it's in essence to allow us to do what we could do. Because there were two issues yesterday. One, that the IPC objected to that within, with their own reasons. But two, that even if they hadn't, I wasn't strictly within procedure. We as a council weren't strictly in procedure to have that motion on the table. Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, and that requires, all you're asking for, which is present in every single charter and bylaws I've ever seen, is basically the ability to waive the notice period. That's it.
Precisely, but it happens to be missing from ours, it appears. So, you know, so I think that's something the SCI could reasonably look at. Any comments or input on that?
Yeah, this is Marika, maybe a more practical question, because as the SCI is now in a process of that they actually need to reconsider their charter, is it appropriate to already give them these items, or should the charter issue be resolved first to determine whether they are the appropriate body to deal with this?
I'm a little confused. They're still in existence. The charter doesn't say that they're not in existence, right? So we're just working on improving it. But I think we can work that in parallel.
Well, some, in the SCI, and I don't know if that's a shared view within the council, actually view it that the SCI should be only for the GNSO improvements and should basically be
but
closed.
But, Marika, we've covered that now, and we have a provisional decision that the SCI should remain in perpetuity. All I'm waiting for is for Jeff to put that provisional decision to the list and for the council as a whole, given that some council members aren't here, to essentially sort of ratify that, if you like, by whatever the appropriate process is. And then the second issue is about the revisions and what revisions to the charter. And you're right, there's a sequencing issue there, but there's no reason why we couldn't let them know that these other items are coming down the track. So that's the way I'm seeing it play out from a sequencing point of view. Great. Next is Lars, if you could get, we've got 8 minutes to go, so let's just see if there's anything else we could, what could we prioritize from this list, if anything? Is there anything that anyone feels is very urgent? You should have that list on you in front of you in email, Marika.
Yeah, this is Marika, this is an item where staff would like feedback on. I think at least on the, you know, the lack of volunteers, I think on the translation and transliteration, during the course of this meeting, we had several people signing up, and again, we're a bit low on the number, so if anyone in your group is interested there, please volunteer. On the other one, the reporting and metrics working group, we actually would like to make a suggestion that, as that is a non-PDP working group, whether there would be flexibility from the council to allow staff to take a bit different approach there. And instead of trying to form a working group, I think so far we have two or three volunteers to actually maybe turn it around, where staff actually proactively reaches out to the different stakeholder groups and constituencies and other groups that may be interested, have a conversation with them around it, you know, based on what was in the issue report, and maybe come back with a first draft or proposal, which is then circulated and where groups then can provide input as a bit of a different way of trying to move this forward. Because I'm just concerned that with two or three people with a topic that's quite complex, that's not even a PDP, we may really struggle in actually getting anything done in a reasonable time frame. So I'm just wondering if there's any objection to the council. And again, we can write up that suggested approach and put that first back to you to see if that's something you feel comfortable with. So I just want to ask your permission to do that, and then maybe at the next meeting or through email we can get a sense of whether that's acceptable or not.
I have no objection to that approach. Any other thought or comment or input on that? Let's go with that. Let's get on. I mean, I know you are rightly anxious, Marika, to try and do something here, because without the participation, we don't get the progress. So it's pretty self-evident. Mr. Peck, is there anything you, sir, would like to add to the discussion, given the unique use of facilitation in the INGO working group work over the weekend?
I think it's definitely something that we can look at in the future. I think the one thing that yesterday, we unfortunately didn't have a large audience to participate for various reasons, I think. But I think the model itself, I think there were some very constructive discussions, that we got a couple new ideas that we can utilize with the working group. And it kind of gave us even among those of the working group that participated, I'd invite some of those who participated yesterday, I think it kind of brought some fresh perspective to it. So in that sense, I thought it was something we should consider for future working group purposes.
other comments on that issue? I mean, it was an innovation that was opportunistic to some extent because the professional facilitators were in town, as it were. But anyone else participate and see the benefit or not of that? Alan?
Yeah, I'm not at all convinced that method of facilitation is what we want to use in the future. But the concept of having professional people bridge the gaps and what often appear to be unbridgeable gaps between participants, I think is something we're going to have to look at and use.
Well, I happen to have spent quite some time talking to Jean-Francois Baril last night, and it was interesting to hear his perspective on dealing with an intractable issue and how that was dealt with via professional input. But yes, okay, so point taken. I personally had some questions about the mechanics of the facilitation as well, but yeah, it's interesting to hear your support. All right, any other matters that are, I'm going to go back to this list and we'll wash it out and see if there's anything else that we should have, could have, would have covered, but is there anything else that anyone would like to urgently table now in the last minute or two before we wrap things up in the wrap-up session? Marika?
This is Marika. Is there any way to confirm the council meeting? I don't know, Glenn may have a look at the last results of the doodle poll and just announce here, and that may serve already as the 14 days in advance notification of that.
We can do that by email shortly afterwards as well. But Glenn, is it looking like it's coalescing? I think I saw the Thursday being the runner leader.
Sorry, Jonathan. It looks like the Thursday is the day. And I will just look at the...
So that's to confirm, it's Thursday, 1st of August, 1500 UTC, I think, is currently the preferred time.
So that's just to give you all an indication. What was the time, Marika? I'm sorry?
1500 UTC.
So
it looks like Thursday, the 11 UTC...
But let's not guess it. Let's have a look properly at the doodle poll afterwards and make sure we're current.
Definitely the Thursday 11 UTC, no?
Yeah, well, we're not saying that. We're just giving people an indication that that's where it's likely to go. We will formally give you notice by email. Okay, great. Thanks, everyone, for contributing to the wrap-up session. I think it's been a very productive discussion, exactly what it's meant to be. Thanks again to everyone for their participation over the last few days. On list, let's keep up the momentum if we possibly can. I know we generally go into a bit of a slump immediately after the meeting, but I'm personally coming out of this meeting with a pretty good spirit, at least in terms of where we've got to and the opportunities to take things further. So that's great. Thanks again to all of you. Thanks for the staff, to the staff for the support, both those that are present in the room, technical and otherwise. So great. Let's call it a day here and look forward to taking things forward online and moving ahead to Buenos Aires. Yeah, Marika rightly reminds me that I should just remind all of you that we have a day scheduled on the Friday for a council development.